Let's take our Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. As we look in the Word of God, glad you're here today. Appreciate the Lord getting us all safely here today. As we're looking in the Bible today, I'm reminded that I see what the world is looking for in this day and age. I see, first off, that people are looking for fake performers. The faker the better. I see that, and the way I can prove that statement is look at the multi-billion dollar industry out on the West Coast known as the Hollywood movies. Boy, listen, they got so many out there, they got one company can't run it all. They got all kind of picture companies out there, all kind of movie stars. And the reason I say they're fake performers, I mean, nobody really believed Adam West really was Bruce Wayne in Batman, did they? Nobody really believed that Gilligan was stuck on that island. Right? You didn't really think Maxwell Smart was in that phone booth and it dropped down below the thing, did you? I mean, you didn't really believe that, did you? It's performing. And some people are such good actors that when they play a different role than what they normally play, you can't believe which one's the real them. Well, guess what? Neither one of them is. There's some people out there I've seen in interviews where they play these crazy people, psycho killers and all this other stuff, and or they'll play somebody that's off their rock or whatever. They talk to them, they're the most intelligent person you'll ever see. They use words you'd have to use a dictionary to keep up with them with. They're just super intelligent. And then there's people that are out there, there's fake performers, that they'll play roles where they tote guns, and they're liberals of dog's hind leg and preach against guns all the time. Which one's the real you? Are you fake there or fake here? And fake performers always go out for fleeting praise. They like to hear that applause when the crowd, when the curtain opens and then when the curtain closes, have to come back and take another bow. They like to hear that their movie is, boy, that's the best one we've seen this century. And they live and die by that fleeting praise. Do you know that the same crowd that pats them on the back day will crucify them tomorrow? That praise will go away, and one day, listen, they'll be sitting around saying, but my loyal fans, what happened to them? I'll tell you what happened to them. It was fleeting. It was fleeting. You got to watch when people start patting you on the back.
Right.
Because it may be, they listen, they thought you was a fake performer. Maybe you are a fake performer. I don't know, but God knows.
Right.
But as we look in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more, and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. As we look over what Paul's praying for these Philippians today, what he's praying is something that what we see that the Lord is looking for. And that's what I'm going to preach to you today on about what the Lord is looking for. You know what people are looking for? Let's see what the Lord is looking for. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love you today, God. We thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive today. God, while we're here in the house of God, Lord, that you may use us today, God, and help us today, God, as your people. God, that you'd open up the Word of God to us by the Spirit of God's power and leading. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, that you'd teach us the Scriptures today, God. We pray, God, that you'd help me to preach today. According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And God, today, if there's anybody in this building or watching this thing today, Lord God, that's on their way to hell, I pray, God, you'd save them for us eternally too late. And Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do for us in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for his sake. Amen. What is the Lord looking for? Well, he's looking for the people of God. He's looking for the born-again, blood-washed saints of God. He's looking to see the blood's covered the sin so he don't see the sin.
Yeah.
Now, you may close the Bible and go home, or you may keep going.
Keep going.
All right, we know he's looking for the saved people. He's looking for the blood-bought, the blood-washed. But Paul talks about three things he's praying God will see in them. Number one is this. Look down at verse number 9. In this I pray, he says, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. The first thing God's looking for is the prayers of his people. And if you'll notice, Paul says, in this I pray. Let me give you some advice on praying. Pray.
Right.
Why? God is listening. That's why.
Amen.
Everybody's trying to figure out, well, I don't know if I'm right with God. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
Right.
Just go to him and sincerely ask him. Confess your sins to him. Get everything on the playing field right with him. And he'll get everything on the playing field right with you.
Right.
He'll get you in the battle of prayer and battle you in prayer and show you the great things in prayer. He'll encourage you in prayer. Listen, if somebody's discouraged, go to the prayer closet and be encouraged. Because that's where God does the work at.
Right.
I've heard people say, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, this, and this. I know what you can do. You can pray. God will listen to you.
Right.
God has desired and set up the whole thing where he can listen to the Christian's prayer. And listen, he wants you to come to him, come clean with him, get right with him, and pray. And he says this. He said that your love may abound yet more and more. And he says that love needs to go in two things here. In knowledge. Love in knowledge, not love in ignorance. Love in knowledge. And we see somebody gets equipped with the gift of love from God Almighty. Paul's saying, I want them to have that gift right there. God wants to see them pray in that kind of love. In fact, even the people you hate, God said, put them on a list and pray for them. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, them that abuse you and despitefully persecute you. And I'll tell you what it'll do for you. You won't hate them people no more. You'll begin to love them. See, God's got a way of doing that in somebody's heart. You know why people run from the prayer closet? They know prayer changes things, but more important, they know prayer changes them.
Yeah.
He says they're yet more and more in knowledge, and it says in all judgment. Now, here's a thing for you. Don't you judge me. But Paul just said, pray God give you that thing and do it in love. To end the sacrificial lamb known as don't you judge me, let's look over at Matthew chapter 7. I want to show this for some people today that probably don't know this. You've been taught wrong. You've never read this in the Bible. But the first thing you learn about studying the Bible is never take anything out of context.
Right.
I mean, listen, if you want to, I can make it where it looks like you have to give me everything you own in the Bible if I take it out of context.
Right.
I can make it look like I need to give you everything I own in the Bible if I take it out of context. But if I take it in context, I got the message of God. Here's the message of God, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Now watch this. You can't take this one verse out and leave the rest.
Right.
Judge not that you be not judged. See, there it says right there, don't judge me. That ain't what it said at all.
Yeah.
It didn't say not to judge you. You read. They have a problem with your reading skills. Have you? Do you understand the English language? Look at this. Judge not that you be not judged.
Right.
So if you're willing to point the finger, be sure there's going to some come back to you.
Yeah.
But here's the catch. Verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again.
Right.
And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?
Right.
Or wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Yeah.
Listen to it. Don't judge people unless you're willing to be judged.
Right.
And if you got a problem, get rid of your problem before you go to pointing fingers at people.
Right.
But that can't be all that is, though. Just going around saying, you're not as good as I am, and I'm not as good as you are. That ain't what that's talking about at all. We have to take the Scripture and interpret it with Scripture. Mm-hmm. I believe it's over John chapter 7 or John chapter 8 I want to go to. Over here. Let's look over John chapter 7. Now you'll notice, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you meet it shall be measured back to you and all that, right? So we see that's there. And then we see a strange thing show up. I believe it's in John chapter 8 what I'm looking for here. Where's my verse at here?
724.
724, that's right, 724. I said 720 is what I had in mind, but 724 is it. All right, if you look down there at John chapter 17, verse 24, and get this thing. He says, judge not according to the appearance. How about that? Ma'am, do you need to go to the battered women's shelter? You look beat up over there. Y'all help her. That's exactly what it said not to do.
Right.
Things are not often as they appear.
That's right.
People are not often as they appear.
Right.
I got 9-1 dialed, lady. Just let me know I hit that last number. But what I see is I see he's saying judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Yeah.
Judge not that you be not judged. Judge righteous judgment. So if we bring these things together, what we've got is this. We've got the prayer that God's people, God wants to see the sights and sounds of you praying, the sounds of you praying. He wants to hear and see that, but he's wanting to do that so he can help you to rightly judge things.
Right.
Would to the Lord that some of you would learn how to rightly judge the hot and cold water.
Come on.
Thou shalt not be burned if thou learnest thy secret.
Right.
I would that some of you would learn how to drive.
Right.
So judge not, just be judged. I don't have any tickets. I'm saying you need to learn how to drive. Amen.
Word.
Judging in righteous judgment here, right?
Right?
Now listen to me. I see he says judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I think the judgment we're looking for, that we're talking about over here, is whether somebody's saved or whether they're lost.
Right.
That's righteous judgment.
Right.
So I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. True. I don't believe that either. I don't think you got to go to church to be a Christian. But you do have to be saved to be one.
That's right.
And I found out that saved people are baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. And you're not your own at that point.
Yeah.
And when you get saved, you want to be around others of like precious faith.
Right.
And once you get a hold of that truth, you'll notice this right off when first get saved. You won't want anybody to go to hell.
Right.
Once you realize what hell is and how long it lasts and what goes on there, you will never want to see another soul go to hell.
Right.
You'll start judging righteous judgment.
Yeah.
You won't be judging according to appearance.
Mm-hmm.
See, I've run into people. We was at the pizza place the other day. Dude looked like he crawled out from under a train. So what was he? He needed a shower, amen. That's all he needed. So was he saved or lost? Did he get to talk to him? Don't know. He looked like a working man. Some of you need to learn what a working man looks like and go be one of them things.
Right.
You don't have to get dirty head to toe, but you need a job. A J-O-B, amen. It's in the Bible. The word job's in the Bible. Look it up.
Yeah.
But I see this. I see that he says, judge not according to appearance. And the context he gives is back over here in verse 23. He said, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? They're worried about whether somebody's circumcised and whether they do it on the Sabbath day and all this other stuff, and Jesus just helped a man out that needed to be healed.
Yeah.
What a pile of hypocrites, right? All right, he says, judge not according to appearance. Here's something to consider. Before you went in the synagogue, they looked to see if you had that thing, or they wouldn't let you in. I got news for them. A lot of the world practices that. It's not Jewish now.
Yep.
So how can we tell who they are now? Aha. Judge not according to appearance.
Right.
Judge righteous judgment.
Right.
Let me ask you this. If you were on a road and the bridge was out and somebody come along and took off the signs that said road closed, danger away, and you knew it, would you stand there and warn cars not to go down that road? They'll go off and... I'll say, well, I sure would, because I wouldn't want to see nobody die.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, those look like good people coming in that car. I'm sure they're very nice. Well, I don't want to tell them unless it offends them. Judge righteous judgment, tell them.
Right.
Tell them. Well, that guy don't look like he's able to respond to what I'm fixing to say. Tell him anyway.
Yeah.
You never know who's listening and who will take in that thing, and God will deal with it and use that thing to his glory. See, God wants the sights and sounds of his people praying, because if you do it in all not, if you grow in love and in knowledge and love and judgment, the prayers of God's people will reflect that statement right there.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of going to God and asking God to kill everybody you don't like, you may ask him to be saving some people that just lost.
Right. Amen.
Lord, smite of hip and thigh, you know.
Right.
So we wouldn't pray like that. Well, you might. I might. But he's praying for these Philippians not pray like that. They'd abound in love, in knowledge, and in all judgment.
Right.
Judge not, baby, judge not. He said, pray their love goes in that thing.
Yeah.
Now look at verse number 10 here. We've got the sights and sounds of the prayers of his people. But then we see he prays for this, for the purpose of his people. God's looking for the sights and sounds of the purpose of his people, that you may approve things. Notice that word things. That covers a lot of stuff right there. Things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That ye may approve things that are excellent. What's your purpose in life? Do you have one? Because see, he says right here that you may approve things that are excellent. How do we approve them? Well, they're either scriptural or they're not. They're either biblical or they're not. They're either excellent or they're not.
Right.
And when we look at that statement that ye may approve, that lets me know that God deals with people on an individual basis on what he'd have them do and what he'd have them approve.
Yeah.
You ever heard somebody say, I don't understand why I have to do this and they don't? That's in the Bible, by the way.
Yeah.
It's two sisters, Mary and Martha. One of them's in there fixing everything, getting everything ready. The other one's out here wanting to talk to Jesus. And the one comes out and says, well, I don't understand why I got to go in the kitchen to work. She sits there and talks to you. They both need to work, and they both need to talk to the Lord. You can't go extreme on either side. You got to do both. And in what he's saying here about proving things that are excellent, a good rule of thumb about approving things that are excellent is this. Not only would Jesus do it, but would you do it in front of a crowd of people? So what about in front of God? That's a given. You're doing it in front of God, whatever it is.
Right.
But would you do it in front of people that you respect and love and care for? See, because he says here that you may approve things that are excellent. What are them things? He's left that wide open right there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God wants to deal with individuals. I know a lot of times we have standards that are Christian standards and biblical standards, and we hang by them, and our moral standards that are, you know, biblically right and so forth. But at the same time, God has different things for different people to adhere to because he made you individually.
Yeah.
Do you know that God, when he speaks to his people, he may speak to you in redneck, may speak to somebody else in good English? You know why? He's trying to get you to understand him. Now watch this. When he takes his scripture and puts it in our heart, and we start meditating and memorizing the scripture, there'll be more things that we'll be able to prove from the scripture than we'll be able to understand in scripture.
Right.
Why? Because God will show you things like that.
Yeah.
You can read a passage of scripture and use the method of who said what and what were they saying to and things like that. But sometimes you read something and it's not the interpretation that falls on you, but the application of the thing.
Right.
I always like to use Duke's mayonnaise because that's the only real mayonnaise in the world. Now, every missionary around the world said, amen, and will you send us a box tomorrow? No matter what foreign country they're in, whether it's Ohio or the Philippines, they want Duke's mayonnaise, amen. And I noticed that when we get to this thing about application, that mayonnaise is always good and always looks good in the jar, but it tastes a whole lot better than it looks. Mayonnaise in the jar is beautiful, but mayonnaise on the bread is child. And I see that when we get to looking at the Word of God, that Word of God looks good where it says.
Yeah.
But boy, it tastes better in here.
Yeah.
And you can approve things that are excellent. Listen, it's very plain. You and I can eliminate what's good and what's bad by our conscience sometimes.
Yeah.
We can do it by the Spirit of God all times. But when he deals with you personally about things, deal with things personally.
Mm-hmm.
And here's something that a lot of folks never get. Your personal convictions that God showed you, he may not have showed everybody just yet.
Right.
It's very possible. Mm-hmm. It may be very possible that you hold to a standard of something that God showed you and you know it's right, but you look around and you seem to be the only one doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would that be? Well, number one, you could be wrong. That's always possible. But number two, it could be that God showed you something that he ain't let us in on yet. You know, over in Romans chapter 14, Paul says over about that weak brother over there to bear with him. I would to God that our crowd would bear with us a little bit more, don't you?
Come on.
Why? Because we have a purpose in life, and our purpose is the will of God. Our purpose is found in the Word of God. Our purpose lies solely on what God wants us to do and what he tells us to do. There's a general will of God for everybody, but then there's a specific will for people where God shows them specifically what he wants them to do. There used to be a missions teacher in one of the Bible colleges, and he thought everybody was called to Africa. You need to go to Africa. Start a church. Go over and win them lost souls to Africa. Well, he's called to Africa. It's so strong with him, he thought everybody should go. But the gospel needs to go to more than Africa. It needs to go into all the world.
Right.
And if somebody don't take the gospel in all the world, we'll save one continent and the rest of them will be lost.
Right.
Kind of like how all the preachers are going to America now. Fan out, boys. Fan out. Ask God, listen, you know the Great Commission's out there. Ask God to put you somewhere.
Sure.
Listen, all these guys that complain about America, be a foreign missionary.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God which foreign country to put you in. Go out and be in one of them and go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, how his blood saves sinners. I mean, listen, go out and preach that. That works. That message still works. And God still uses that message. Why is that? That you may approve things that are excellent. You're talking about an excellent message. That message on the blood of Jesus, that's an excellent message.
Right.
That is the perfect will of God for us to tell everybody about that message. But notice this. We not only see the sight and sounds of the prayers and purpose of God's people, what he's looking for, but in verse 11 he says this, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, notice this, unto the glory and praise of God. What's the sights and sounds he's listening for? He's listening for the praise of his people. Now, I don't want you to be mistaken. Every church you walk into that don't shout and run the aisles and swing on the chandeliers, they may or may not be right with God. And every church you go in where they're kind of quiet more so than they are loud, they may or may not be right with God. Because it's Jesus Christ who tells that crowd in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, you've got a testimony that you're alive, but you're dead.
Right.
I don't care how much hooping and hollering you do and what team you cheer for and all this other stuff while you're in church. I could care less.
Right.
But you know what'll really make the difference in your life is how you walk right outside that door.
That's right.
I was with Brother Carter somewhere one day. We were sitting at a church service, and there's a dude running in front of the church going, woo-hoo! And all this while that singing's going on, he leaned over and said, do you think that guy's real or fake? And I didn't know what to say because I knew he knew the answer. But I said, I don't think it's real, because when you start preaching, he's going to sit down. Mm-hmm. He said, he will? You think so? Opened the Bible up, dead quiet.
Yeah.
Started preaching, dead quiet. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about that one guy. We was up, woke up in the morning feeling fine with Jesus on my mind, whoop, whoop, doing all that. And then when the preacher started, died. And I got to thinking about that. And by the time I was sitting there processing all this, Brother Carter goes down and sits in the guy's lap.
Yep.
Right on the front row, just sits right in his lap. Says, amen, Brother Carter, I'll shout while you preach too. Amen and amen. That guy was sitting there going, didn't know what to do. Can I let you in on a little secret? You can shout till you pout and pass out.
Right.
Or you can be quiet and be as cold-blooded as a snake.
Come on.
But until you praise God and God's on terms with you, it don't count.
Right.
Yeah. I've heard people say, well, the only people that don't like that stuff right there are cold and dead. I got news for you. Not everybody's cold and dead like you think. I knew this one preacher that if you talked to the guy, you could barely get 5 words out of him. Do you like reading books? Mm-hmm. Want some more chicken? Yes, please. Well, where have you preached? A lot of places. And you'd think the guy was just rude or something. But he didn't like to talk to people. True story. You walk the guy at the pulpit, he opens his Bible, he turns, it looks like electricity hit his hair, the feet's flying this way, the hands going this way, and he's preaching like a wild man.
Yeah.
And then somebody finally noticed one day, he was never even looking down his Bible and quoting it word for word. So what's up with that guy? He's spending time with God.
Yeah.
God is looking for the praise of his people, not just in church. He's looking for the praise of his people out there too.
Amen.
That don't mean you act a fool in Walmart.
Right.
Glory to God, hallelujah. But it probably wouldn't hurt either. These people that say, well, I am of the frozen chosen, and I would like to let you know that that is balderdash to act like that in the church service. Well, bless your heart. What's that word balderdash mean again? Anyway, I'd like to let them know that you can praise God, not sit there like a knot on the log.
Yeah.
And here's another thing, and I found this one out to be the hardest one. Not every time you get up and preach or sing is the time to shout. Sometimes it's time for tears. Sometimes it's time to hang your head and say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that.
Right.
Preaching and singing now.
Right.
There's a time, sometimes we hear that somebody sing that message of the cross and it breaks us. Mm-hmm. And we think about where we come from, what he did for us. There comes a time when we see the praise of his people and God's looking for the sights and sounds of the praise of his people. But never forget this, God's as much as in the tear as he is in the shout.
Sure.
Amen. Amen. See, the praise of his people is what God inhabits. He wants to be there in the praise of his people. And here's another thing too. Just because we do it one way, like personally now, don't mean everybody's going to do it the same way. I know folks that say, well, if you don't do it our way, there's no way you're right with God. Well, I don't know about all that, but I know this. I'm not looking to get your approval at all,
right?
But I am looking for his.
I know.
And listen, Paul's prayer is that they may be filled with the fruits of righteousness. I looked at the Bible. There's seven different things in the Bible about fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the lips over in Hebrews chapter 13, and on. Every one of them add up to the fruits of righteousness over here. But it says about these fruits of righteousness, he says they're all by the same way. Look at it. By who? Jesus Christ. If all those fruits come by Jesus Christ, then God's not in anything. It's not praising Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's how you can discern sometimes when it's fake. When it's real, is who they're bragging on.
Yeah.
Who they shouting at. Yeah. Woo-hoo, singers, woo-hoo. What are they singing about again? Oh, I don't know. I was just shouting.
Come on.
I like good singing. I like singing that glorifies the Lord. I like good songs. But what I'm saying is sometimes if that stuff ain't about Jesus Christ, it probably shouldn't be shouted out.
Right.
Not be shouted out, but probably thrown out maybe.
Come on.
Nobody wants to hear about your backer spitting granny. Nobody. Nobody does. How she rocked on the porch, spit back in one hand and got it all over her Bible in her other hand. Nobody wants to hear about that stuff.
Right.
That's nasty. Amen.
Yeah.
What we do want to hear about is Jesus Christ, who was sinless.
Yeah.
And took upon himself sin for us that we might be taking on his righteousness. Sing me a song about that. It'll bring up a tear, bring up a shout.
Right.
He says about this thing about Jesus Christ and to the glory and praise of God. There's a thing about this thing about the praise of his people. When God's listening to the praise of his people, he's wanting to hear praise about his glory through Jesus Christ, his son. And when he's dwelling in on that, he don't want anybody in the place of Jesus. Nobody. Mm-hmm. He wants Christ to be number one.
Yeah.
When you come in the doors of this church, he wants Jesus to be the focus of what it is. He wants the song service to be about Jesus. He wants the message to be about Jesus. He wants you to walk out the door talking about Jesus and wants you to live Jesus in front of everybody because you might be the only word of God they ever read.
Yeah.
And I've noticed over the years there's been one constant thing that keeps happening over and over in Christian churches everywhere. The devil don't mind you going to church. Did you know that? These people say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Hey, that's right. But guess what? When you show up, you know what happens? You come here to worship him.
Amen. Right.
Where God designated his public worship at.
Yeah.
I tell this story all the time because it's just so funny to see people say this stuff. They say, well, I can worship God anywhere. Mm-hmm. Anywhere I want to. Oh, you can. I'll give you two instances. I went deer hunting for the first time. Got, and I asked where the hymn books was. The guy said, well, you can't do all that out here. I said, well, I thought you said we could worship God anywhere. You lead the singing, I'll preach. We'll worship God here in the tree stand. Oh, we can't do that because I scared the deer away. I thought we was worshiping. We could worship God here. Or we just deer hunting.
Come on.
I'm not, listen, I love deer hunting. Shoot all of them. I don't care. But if that's not worship, then quit saying that's what that is.
Come on.
When we get to people that say, well, you don't have to be in the church to worship God. Very true. Very true. But wherever you at, start worshiping God. Well, I can't. People think I'm crazy. Well, I thought you said that.
Come on.
Don't look like a fanatic over there, do you? Don't worry. They won't mistake you for that.
Yeah.
Here's the best one. If somebody tells you, well, I go to church and we just go meet in the house or wherever we can, all this stuff. God ain't worried about church buildings. Let them get a little bit of money built up in their organization there, and they'll be buying a building to be right with God to have a building then.
Mm.
And then it'll be right with God to build a bigger building.
Mm. Yeah.
So will they do that? Every time. Why? Because people are looking for fake performers, and fake performers are looking for fleeting praise. God is looking for the blood of Jesus. He's looking for it in the prayer of his people. He's looking for it in the purpose of his people. And he's looking for it literally in the praise of his people, that'd be what we come to him on the grounds of worship about.
Yep.
Well, your style of worship and my style of worship differ. They may, honey, but they both have to have the blood of Jesus over both of them.
Right.
Now, listen to this. When somebody comes up and says, well, now, we do things a little different down our church. If you just come one service, you'll see how it's done. You know what they're trying to get you to do? They're trying to get you to join the charismatic movement.
Yeah.
Every time, without fail, that's charismatic movement stuff. I had a preacher warn me about this in 1994. He said that stuff is taking over the world faster than these Muslims are. And somehow, in some way, what are we doing? Helping them out. We're saying, well, it reaches the young people. Does it? Does it change them? Does what they do differ from what they did before?
Come on.
So them old stuffy churches, I don't like them either. I want to go where the Bible's preached and taught.
Right.
I want to go to the man of God, don't get up and say, I ain't got nothing to preach today. I hope y'all got a testimony waiting. Anybody got a word from the Lord? I don't know. Hope the big preacher shows up today. Hey, hope the big preacher shows up too, and I hope you preach when he gets done.
Right.
Because if God give you a message to preach to people, to feed them the Word of God, if they're walking out of there shouting and they never got fed the Word of God, they're almost anemic.
That's right.
You know, it's sad to watch people that, what do you call them, where they constantly get rid of their food where they can't eat. What do you call them people?
Anorexic
people. Mm-hmm. Now listen, it'd be a shame to see Christians like that.
Yeah.
Where they do get the Word of God, but they get rid of it when they walk out the door.
Yeah.
What'd be worse is they keep showing up, nobody gives them the Word of God.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? They're going to die.
Right.
They're going to die spiritually where they're at.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we need to make things about Jesus. We need to make it about Him because God Almighty is looking for the sights and sounds of Jesus Christ in you.
Amen.
Can I tell you something, Dave? There may be a reason why you don't pray, why you don't have a purpose, and why there is no praise from you. It may be that you don't belong to Him. When you belong to Jesus Christ, God's looking for those things. If you've been trying to please God outside of that, He's not pleased.
Right.
Listen, our righteousness is as filthy rags. God is looking for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.